This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast. I am, of course, Stamford Chidge, and tonight, it's the preview show, because it's Friday. It's a Friday evening, and packed show tonight. I have with me, as ever, the wonderful Jonathan Kidd.
How lovely to be called wonderful. Thank you, Chidge. I think it should be called the wonderful David Chidgey presents.
Who's he? I don't know that person.
Oh, you're so self-effacing.
No. I'm Stamford Chidge. I don't know this bloke that you're talking about.
Oh, that's
about.
True. Yeah, Stamford Chidge, yeah.
You well?
Lovely to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Good. Always lovely to see you. Fresh off a lovely evening at, what did you call it? The Cathedral of Spuds You Don't Like.
Yes.
I loved that. That was hilarious.
Thank you.
Anyway, talking of which, you emailed me the wrong clip, so I put the previous legs up, so we need to rectify that at some point.
Did I send you which one? Did I send the previous
yeah,
one?
Yeah, they've been moaning on Discord at me, saying, calling
Sorry.
Me an idiot. I said, it's all JK's
fault. My
fault.
It's entirely my fault.
Anyway, we digress. Who have we got on the show tonight, JK?
Oh, God, I always have to introduce these people. Adam Newsom, who hasn't... Haven't you got anything better to do, Adam?
Clearly not.
I can't believe it. He's on again. And the wonderful Dean Mears, who will soon be taking over from both of us. And brilliant presenter of Went to Mo King's Meadow. And as I say, yeah, has not been on the show enough, but has been with his baby, so it's understandable.
I just reminded, actually, of a show that we did a couple of weeks ago when both Dean and Dane were not on, and we did actually, behind their backs, accuse them of mounting a coup, didn't we, JK?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, rightly so. It's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen. I'll zoom in, and it'll be both of them saying, oh, what are you doing on here, Jonathan?
Sooner the better, I think.
Yeah.
For both of our accounts, I think. But there you go. Anyway, let's get on with it, because lots to talk about tonight. Obviously, fresh off beating Spurs in the Carabao Cup final to get to another... I think it's our ninth League Cup final and our sixth appearance in a final in 6 years. I mean, so many brilliant stats that came out of this. But let's kick it off with Mr. Rudiger, JK, who was absolutely... outstanding. Maybe like so many Chelsea players in the past, actually, you know, playing Spurs gets the best out of Rudiger. Of course, remember they were accused of being racist towards him, so I don't think he likes them very much, but he scored again. But I've got these stats here, JK, that I nicked off Sky that I'm going to read you. I mean, I know we all think stats can be a bit meaningless, but in terms of his ranking for stats, he was first for goals, obviously, because he was the only person who scored. He was first for successful passes, first for passing accuracy, first for duels, first for aerial duels, and second for possession one. I mean, I just thought he was brilliant, actually. And I'll ask Adam in a minute about whether we might be able to keep him, because there have been some rumours this week. But let's just talk about how fantastic he was first.
He was fabulous, wasn't he? And I loved his... celebration when he scored kind of sort of strutted up and just kind of just looked as many fans as he could in the face while going, look what I've just done here. I've scored against you. And it's probably probable that you now won't have a chance to get back into the tie. Unless, of course, the referee helps you. But more of that, we'll get onto that later on. I just wonder whether the fact that he's calculating his millions with his agent is helping him to perform even better. The very fact that so many clubs are offering him clearly huge amounts of money, and he looks as if I don't know what deal, how they do it, how they perhaps you don't get paid all at once, just at the end of your contract they'll then give you a lump sum. How perhaps you'd be more knowledgeable about players' contracts, Adam. I'm just bemused as to what on earth Chelsea could do to somehow not break the bank and not set up a situation where he earns more than anybody else and yet at the same time ultimately makes more money than anybody else. But you know, it's our own fault for winning the Champions League. You know, this was kind of inevitable, wasn't it? You're going to get all these players wanting large amounts of money because they're so in demand from having been terrific. And he just seems to get better and better and better. I mean, obviously the first penalty that wasn't was a lunge that we could have done without, but he
did it outside the box, though, to be fair.
Of course he did. Of course he did. So he timed it beautifully. He has a wonderful ability to get in front of the opponent and to sort of sit there. And probably in 20 years ago, it would have been obstruction. But the other player then manages to foul him. And but he's just a rock. He's a huge physical specimen. Awful thing to say is we won't find anybody playing as well as him. And he already, to me, he's player of the year. A quite phenomenal performance. Yeah,
I can agree with all of that. And you mentioned Adam in dispatches there. I mean, there have been some rumblings. I mean, I've been picking up a few vibes this week, Adam, in the press that people think that, or Tuchel, you know, he did a wry grin or something that may have been translated as maybe there's hope that we might be able to keep him. Because I think pretty, I mean, I'm normally very much of the, well, if they want to go, let them go. You know, we'll just find somebody else. You know, nobody's bigger than the club, blah, 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 blah. Mm. I am wearing my Legacy fan T-shirt to kind of validate that kind of opinion tonight. But actually, he would be bloody hard to replace. And I really do think they need to pull out all the stops to try and keep him if possible. Is there a chance?
There's always been a chance. Mm. And I think I may have said it on here that it wouldn't be completely out of the question that Rudiger fields offers from clubs across Europe and then decides, actually, no, Chelsea are my best bet here. The thing that JK is alluding to there is obviously because he wouldn't cost a club any money, they can then offer what would be a transfer fee of X million pounds to Rudiger, which is the issue that Chelsea face. Chelsea can offer him something similar with a signing on fee, but it gets quite expensive for Chelsea and then you've still got a player on big money at your club. And that in itself creates other problems with other players then wanting equal pay or parity or even more. So it is a little bit problematic for Chelsea. But I've always felt there's been a chance he stays just because he is completely content at Chelsea. Tuchel loves him. Tuchel has tried to reinforce that you're not going to find a better environment than here at Chelsea. Look, I've been at PSG. Chelsea's better. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, he's wanting 200 grand a week, Dean. I'm not entirely sure how much all of them are paid. It would make him one of our highest paid players, but not obscenely so. But I think this, you know, the Londoners Blue Boys had Matt Law on, didn't they, the other day? And he was saying that, you know, that's what Rudiger was looking for. But he kind of would like more than that, really. But he'd probably settle for 200 grand. But the thing is, he'd get, you know, if he'd get a signing on fee from one of the big clubs that would kind of make his salary nearer to 400 grand a week, which, of course, nobody's going to pay him. So, you know, it's a bit of a conundrum, isn't it, Dino?
Yeah, I mean, it's very good of him to settle on £200,000 a week. Yeah.
Generous
of him. Yeah. But yeah, like Adam said, I think those 400 grand a week rumours come out because the agent knows that from January you can get offers from other clubs. Yeah. So they'll test the water and then sit down and see what one they think works best. And did Tuchel say something about he's found the right environment at Chelsea?
Yeah.
Something similar along those lines. Yeah. That has meant Rudiger has played absolutely fantastic. And if it fits in with the club's budget and they can work it, it doesn't cause too many problems, then yeah, absolutely give him give him that figure.
Yeah, because you'd be I mean, just looking at that, you need big match players, and he's clearly one. Big match player, Andre, or the crimes of the Ancient Mariner, certainly is not JK. Not once, but not twice, but three times he made unbelievably incompetent and idiotic decisions. What is wrong with these people?
Well, you know, I keep going on about the fact he's not quite up with play, but we had no excuse. He didn't have that excuse for particularly the first one because he was quite near. He actually responded to the linesman because the linesman went mad, flagged, like, you know, he was swatting an enormous mutant fly that had attacked him. And he just went for it. And you could see Mariner thinking, oh, well, I was, I didn't quite see that, but my friendly lino friend has, he's come up with it. So he obviously had to eat his stupid strutting view of the game that he normally has. There's something of the sailor about Mariner, isn't there? I think even though he's called Mariner, because he has a kind of sailor's gait, doesn't he? He has a kind of, your feet is a bit like that, you know, when he's going round. That's right. He does. He has a bendy backwards and forwards movement about him. I think he had the same thing with he was actually a very long way away from the Kepa incident, and once again relied on the linesman, and the linesman gave it. So the linesmen were both completely shit as well. So not only is he shit, he's got a shit team with him. And then bizarrely, the offside, we could see that Kepa, even though we were up the other end, for God's sake, we could see that Kepa was in advance. And therefore, there were the chances where there was only one player there. So if he was level with, just slightly ahead of the other defender, he would have been offside as well. He would have been offside. It isn't to do with people were citing an example of, yeah, but where the goalkeeper was there, therefore there were three. And you go, no, it's two players and the goalkeeper had advanced. It's just two players. It doesn't have to be the goalkeeper being involved there. He made him offside by being Kepa, by being going for the ball, being advanced. So they were just dreadful. I mean, please, can we not just replace these people? They're just so awful and slow to get up with the game, and I think they try and get away with just being chummy with everybody. It's almost as if, Andre Mariner, he's a good bloke. You just stand in the centre circle, but he's all right, isn't he, really? He makes the odd crap decision, but nah, come on. Well, you know, I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous, isn't it?
It's not good enough, and it could have cost us, because that would have made it, go to extra time. And, I mean, you know, we don't have enough time to go into everything in minute detail like we would on a Monday, but we were so, so better than Spurs, so completely on top. That would have been just a ridiculous travesty. I just want to spend a couple of minutes, talking about Tuchel and Chelsea and this remarkable, proclivity they have for reaching finals. Before I talk about the press conference, because I think you were there, weren't you, today, Adam, at the presser?
Yeah, it was indeed.
And it was quite an interesting one, unusually, some might say, but maybe you're a better judge of that than me. But Dino, Tuchel, I think, is amazing. Again, myriad stats coming out. I mean, this is the ninth out of nine semi-finals that he's won. He's already taken Chelsea to an FA Cup final, a Champions League Cup final, a Super Cup final, and now a League Cup final. I mean, he is brilliant. And I think when you think about how many, I think it's 19 finals we've now been to since Roman took over, and 31 overall. We seem to be perfectly suited to each other, don't we?
Yeah, I think so. Everything that we've achieved sort of flies in the face of the decisions that the club seem to make, of what you think a football club should be run, with stability, where we throw that out the window and seem to reap the reward. So maybe we do it right and everyone else does it wrong. But we hope with Tuchel that we get that stability and that he can stay, because he's obviously, for me, the best coach in the world, up with Guardiola. What he's done since he's come in, his semi-final record speaks for itself. We're just fantastic with him. And when we've got our players fit, I don't think there's a better team in Europe than us.
Mm. That's interesting. Really good point, and also a good link, actually.
Can I just add that Tuchel said after the game, sort of how you say it's kind of intertwined now. He said the club mentality sharpens the attitudes of the players, and this is not something you can invent. It's a long process, sort of saying this is what Chelsea have now done over years and years, and it's ingrained in the club and the players know that, which I think is probably just as important as everything Thomas Tuchel has done.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And it's a point we've made on the show several times, actually, about the difference perhaps between, oddly, some of the youth players that come in and maybe some of the kids that, or the players that come over from abroad, because those kids, people like Mason Mount, Reece James, etc., 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 that's been ingrained in them since they were 8 years old. They do not like to lose, and they get a bit nasty if they think that's happening. And I think that's a good thing. I thought, as I said earlier on, actually, Adam, a very interesting press conference today. I mean, obviously, you know, Trevo's still out. We know that. Christensen's gone down with COVID, which I think is unbelievably annoying. And the other thing that came out of it for me initially on players, really, is Kennedy apparently has come back from his loan. And I love what Tuchel said here, talking about how wonderful he is. He says he's a solution, not necessarily the solution. I couldn't have put it better myself.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much else to add to that, really.
Not really.
From what I was told, Chelsea were bringing Kennedy back primarily because there's interest from him in Spain and they were going to chuck him out there. But they're still running into a brick wall with Emerson, and it's kind of a situation of, yeah, Kennedy's here. He can play left wing back a little bit. If we can't get anybody else in, then fine, we'll go with him. He's not the solution to this problem, but he can be a solution, an option, a rotation option for Tuchel when Alonso needs a break. And I think it's an insurance policy, basically, now. If Chelsea
saying in the presser that he could actually improve him.
I'm sure Tuchel can improve him, and by all accounts, Tuchel likes him and quite liked him in pre-season, like his personality and everything. He thought he'd be a good fit for the group, but there's a reason he hasn't played for Chelsea for 4 years.
That's because he was rude to the Chinese, and as the Monty Python used to say, never be rude to the Chinese.
Yeah, he did get in hot water for that, didn't he?
He did.
But we'll see. As we say, Chelsea do, they still haven't given up on Emerson. They're still trying to make that happen, but Leon seem to be standing quite firm on it. There are other options. If those options don't come off, then you've got Kennedy there. Why not keep him around for 6 months and as a cover?
Well, indeed. Although, having said that, I mean, you know, kind of leaping back to the Tottenham match on Wednesday, I thought Sarr had an excellent game, Dino. He seems to improve and improve and improve every game he plays, which is, I suppose, not surprising. But, you know, a left back, I did not have him down as. And he got more forward than anybody else, I thought. I mean, even put more crosses in. So maybe we've got another backup there that we might not have realised.
Yeah, I didn't have him down as a centre-back when he first played for us.
No, me neither.
Couldn't believe he was on the pitch. But maybe that's a sign of what Tuchel can do with players when he's given the opportunity to coach them. He spoke about improving Kennedy. If he can make Sarr into an Ashley Cole tribute act, then maybe he could do the same with Kennedy.
Yeah, I mean, Sarr's got a bit about him too, actually, JK. He's got a bit of edge. I love players with a bit of that. I just do love them, you know. I'll forgive them anything if they kick somebody. I'm terribly old-fashioned, really, aren't I? But, you know, he has got a bit of an edge to him, hasn't he?
You'd like them all to be Billy Bremner, really, wouldn't you?
No, not Billy Bremner.
Diego Costa. Yeah. Team of Diego Costas.
Yeah, yeah. We tried to do. We did a shithouse 11 the other week, didn't we, actually? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got a bit of you know, something about him, and I quite like that. He's only a youngster, but he's, you know, he did all right, I thought.
He has steadily improved, hasn't he, as the season's gone on. I think that's something must take into consideration, because he didn't do himself any favours by appearing in the Spurs friendly and giving the ball away immediately, and they scored, if you remember, and people were saying, I hope I don't ever see him play again. Or he'll
not
be
not
off
that we're reactionary at all.
Off on, but I think he was playing in the same team Barkley was in it, and we thought, well, we actually said, thank goodness we won't be seeing any of these players again. Look how wrong we've been.
Oh, there you go. I mean, who knew? But
Tuchel did want to stress, though, that Malang Sarr's not a wing back option. He made that pretty clear. He said he's a left back.
He plays okay in a four, doesn't he?
He can play left back. He can play left of a three.
They're trying to make out that the four will be perfect for Lukaku, but I'm not sure that anything's perfect for Lukaku.
No, well, I just very quickly, I've got to say, I mean, he seemed to be getting quite a lot of love. Now, okay, I wasn't there, so I didn't see, you know, it all, and I get that. But what I could see was that his touch is woeful again. You know, I moaned about it after, you know, the Chesterfield game. But it's woeful. I mean, bloody hell. Anyway, I'm just going to stop before I start off on a massive rant. Listen,
well, I agree with you, Chief.
Yeah,
I felt,
do you?
I feel exactly the same. But he didn't display any of the bullying or tenacity or even energy that he displayed in the Villa game. In the Villa game, he came on and played out of his skin. It was absolutely fabulous. And that final penalty was when the effort to get the ball in front of Mings. He was being chased by two very quick centre halves, and he bullied them out of it. And he just didn't have that approach. And I wonder whether, it just seemed to me that he was on a roll and then affected by, whether he's been affected by it, and then kind of stopped because he was then dropped because of the Intergate thing. So whether he's, just slightly down tools or just isn't happy once again, I don't know. But we're not seeing the same player. That wasn't the same player last night that played against Villa.
Yeah, but the touch is what worries me. You know,
yeah, but that's part of it. You know?
Well, yeah, but it's also something that's been levelled at him in the past. I remember, a lot of places he's been. You know, he scores goals, but he the football is not his friend. Anyway, we'll see. Jury's out on that one. Adam, much of the press conference or the rest of it really focused on the City game. Ooh, what a surprise! And there was some very quite interesting questions that came out. You know, and I thought some particularly interesting responses from Tommy T. I mean, obviously, they wanted to think, if we lose this tomorrow, is that us completely stuffed? Which I think it kind of would be. But more pertinently, they talked about the closing of the gap. And I thought he was very articulate on that, particularly in terms of us needing, if we got our all of our players fit, then we're as good as anybody, which I agree. The other thing I thought was interesting was his very honest admission that he made a bit of a tactical blunder in the home match where, we were absolutely outclassed, I think, really. We were lucky to get away with a 1-0. So what did you think of all of that?
I appreciate him saying that because I wrote a piece that went live early morning where I looked at the City game and said that he got the system wrong. So I appreciate him saying that. That was quite handy. Right. it was a good press conference. He's been a bit more subdued recently and it kind of felt he was back to his sort of early season chattiness, which is nice because he is a good talker when he's feeling it. Maybe that's a result of reaching a final and Chelsea seemingly playing well again. The closing the gap stuff, I mean, it's easy to forget just how many injuries Chelsea have had this season. I mean, I was looking over it earlier. You've had Lukaku out for a month, Werner out for a month. You've had Kante in and out, Kovacic obviously out for 6 weeks, Chilwell, James. It's a lot of players that Chelsea have had out for good spells now.
Havertz was always to COVID though. Was Havertz always to COVID?
No, he was
injured as well, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, but this is even this. You know, not even going into the COVID stuff. I mean, just pure injuries. Chelsea have had a fair share, and they've still managed to get to the Champions League knockout stages. Still reached the League Cup final. Still second in the Premier League. Through in the FA Cup. They've lost one game since September. So it's impressive what Chelsea managed to achieve despite all that. And yes, if we had a full squad available for the last 3 months, then who knows where we might be. But we haven't. That's the reality. This is what Tuchel was saying. That's the reality of it. Let's not complain about it. It's just what it is. And yes, we get beaten tomorrow. We are probably done in the title race, sadly. But, given the extenuating circumstances, it's not a huge surprise, I don't think. I did think the most interesting thing for me was Tuchel's reaction to the question about clubs potentially gaming the system with COVID and having matches postponed, which, given news tonight that Arsenal have requested to have the North London Derby postponed because they have what is reported at the moment, one COVID case plus injuries and players at AFCON, Tuchel said he'd be very, very angry if rival sides would be trying to game this. And I don't know. It's a bit suspect that Arsenal have even put in this request because injuries and players going to the African Cup of Nations isn't a new thing. It's happened for years. That should not be any grounds to have a game postponed, especially if you only have one COVID case as well.
No, absolutely right. I'm really pleased to hear him say that, actually, because clubs are clearly gaming it. I mean, I think that. Dean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. They're using the opportunity to have that extra bit of rest or move a game they don't really feel like playing that week. But I don't know how strict the reporting guidelines are and how they have to prove these things. But if Liverpool can then say a few days later that all their tests are false positive, then a full days later from that, say they've come back different, even though they didn't have COVID apparently, Something's going on.
Yeah. JK?
Do you think, though, that what Tuchel said about having all these injuries and the COVID was actually an excuse to an extent? Because there were some performances in that month that were just down to poor finishing, which is something that I don't think he's actually really sorted at all. I mean, I agree with him that we haven't played our best team, unlike City, who've been able to play their best team frequently because they haven't been affected in the same way as us. But nonetheless, there's been the odd game where we've played with a pretty decent lineup, with only a couple of injuries, that we've just failed. We've failed to put it to bed.
United and Burnley, I think, being the best examples.
Yeah, I think so I think that the fact that he's giving it this blanket excuse is fair enough, in that it has been ridiculous, the number of injuries. But nonetheless, I felt we drew those games down not to the performances, which were excellent, which were just down to this weird problem that he has of getting the ball into the net.
I don't know. I could play devil's advocate, I guess, for Tuchel, but I would guess his response maybe be something along the lines of, well, against Burnley, we didn't have Lukaku and Werner to turn to, and if we could introduce them late on, maybe we win that game.
Yeah, maybe win it. Yeah,
same for Manchester United. You know, we could only bring on Lukaku, who's only fit for the last 10. If we can start him, maybe we win this game because he's the goal scorer. I mean, look, I'm playing devil's advocate, but
yeah. No, they're playing it well. It's they're good. If he appears to have such a high requirement along with the medical team, that the players have reached a certain peak of fitness, and as is seen by the fact that if somebody's been injured, they don't immediately get back into the side. He never puts them straight. Whereas, you know, we're used to watching Chelsea teams of the past that you just, anybody you happen to actually, oh, he's okay now, put him in from the beginning. Whereas he really does shepherd the squad.
I think this is why he was so irked with the COVID cases and games being called off, because obviously against, was it Wolves, Chelsea went into that game and ended up playing Mateo Kovacic, who'd been out for 6 weeks and had COVID, ended up playing him for half an hour, has played Callum Hudson-Odoi for 90 minutes after he's had COVID. And this is what's really bugged Tuchel, is that he's felt forced into playing guys who he would not want to risk their health, but he's kind of had to. And now he's looking at other clubs having games called off for different reasons, you know, not pure, this is a COVID outbreak, so you've got this game off, which Chelsea had, and they requested the game off and they didn't get it. This is, I think, what's starting to really irk Tuchel and sort of led to him saying, I'll be very angry if clubs are actually gaming this now.
Is there anything that can be done? Can they make a complaint? Is there a complaints process in this instance? Who would they speak to at the Premier League? What do they do? Who does it? Is it done by Marina? Does she come wade in, and or Bruce Buck? Who does that?
I would imagine it'd be Bruce Buck who would go to the Premier League if Chelsea really did want to lobby this, because we'll see what happens with the Arsenal game. To me, it shouldn't be called off, but we'll see what happens.
We will indeed. Adam, before I let you go, I've got one more question for you. You were there in the press conference today. Tuchel said this. Can you try and explain to me what on earth this means? He says, you finally have plates back and it's just like catching a fish. What is he talking about?
I can tell you.
Slippery.
The subject.
Slippery.
You're not Adam. Let Adam answer for
me. No, but that's what I got it when I looked at it. I thought, oh, he's talking about grabbing the fish and it slips out of your hands. You think it's fine and you've got it. Yeah.
That's what I think he's saying, in terms of, you think finally we've got X, Y, and Z player back, but then all of a sudden, no, you don't, because Christensen will test positive for COVID and then he's out again. I think JK seemingly has understood this completely fine, and maybe we're just all idiots for not getting Tuchel.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. So it's basically, it's a slippery situation, but there you go. Adam, always an absolute delight to have you on the show, my friend. Are you going up there tomorrow?
I am indeed. Nice early start. Yeah, that should be a good one.
Yeah.
What train are you getting?
It's 8 o'clock or something from Watford Junction, near where I live. So it's not the end of the world. I'm sure I'll be up anyway. I've got a 3-year-old. They wake up at stupid o'clock.
Indeed,
so
they do. Well, look, stay safe. Have a good trip up there and back. And no doubt we will see you very soon, I hope. I look forward to that.
Thank you. JK might not, but thank you, Chris.
We love you. I love you, Adam. Love having you on the show. Love it. You talk sense. I talk bollocks.
Yeah, this is true. But we love you all as a result of that. Adam, as I said, brilliant to see you on the show. We'll see you again soon. We're going to have a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking to a returning guest, another session with our great mate, a Man City fan called David Walker from Red But Never Red. We'll see you in a sec.
Cheech.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Cheech, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow. Great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to Chidge and the Boys on the Chelsea Football Fancast. Total nutters and proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back. This is Stamford Chidge and the Chelsea Fancast, the Friday night preview show. And of course, I've got Mr. Jonathan Kidd with us.
Lovely to be on the show again.
And Mr. Dean Mears.
Yeah, great to be back.
And of course, it's now time for this. That's right, another episode, call it what you will, of The Opposition View, which we absolutely love doing. And I'm delighted to say, as it's Man City tomorrow, there's no better person to talk about Man City with than Mr. David Walker, who, of course, is from Red But Never Red, who's been on the show. I, do you know what, David? I've lost count of how many times you've been on, but every time you've been on, it's always been a joy. So welcome back.
That's very kind of you to have me back, but I've been on 3 times on each occasion. I predicted a City win, and we've subsequently lost, so that's all changing tonight.
Well, that's why we invite you back, David. You're so generous with it as well, you know. I have a suspicion it's going to be tough. Anyway, before we get into all of that, you know, we've just been talking with Adam Newson from Football.London about the presser today, and you know, Tuchel's pretty angry about a lot of sides in the Premier League seeming to be gaming, you know, the rules about calling matches off for COVID, etc., etc. And understandably so, because we asked to get one called off and they said no. And I think only you and us, I think we're the only two clubs that haven't been able to get a match called off. I know that others haven't asked for it to happen, but have been on the receiving end because they've been playing somebody else. But I think we might be the only two. So that having been said, do City have any issues with COVID, fatigue, AFCON and injury as a result of this absolute mess for the last month and a half?
Simple answer is yes. But when you look in the press and you listen to certain teams, one team that apparently had 14 false positives.
Can't think who you're talking about.
No, I can't believe who I don't know who I'm talking about. No, but City, we went to Swindon last week. Obviously, that wasn't going to be the toughest task, with due respect to Swindon. But we had seven players out with COVID. We also had injuries. We've got Riyad Mahrez gone to AFCON. We're in the, if you call it the fortunate position, that we haven't had to ask to have any games called off. We've managed to play our, fulfil all our fixtures. We managed to win them, which is great from our perspective. And yet you've got this, I don't know, this narrative in the media that City are lucky. Pep said today, you know, we've had our fair share of COVID. There was some, well, I won't name him, from the BBC. It's a complete dick piece. But imputing that, oh, you know, City, they haven't been touched by COVID. Well, we have been. We've been as touched as anybody else. We've been fortunate that we've been able to put out a team. But as Pep said today, you know, there've been games where our bench has been 80% from the academy. So we're not untouchable from COVID. Who is? And I just, it's a bit of a misnomer, and it's irritating when you've got the victims from Liverpool always perpetuating certain narratives. And lately, I mean, the Arsenal fans have actually surpassed themselves as whingers. I mean, my God, they went into the stratosphere, and then lo and behold, they're asking for their derby with Tottenham to be called off on the weekend.
Yes, indeed. I couldn't have said it all better myself. And, you know, it does rankle a bit. You know, it does seem like one rule for them and one rule for the others. And you're absolutely right. I mean, because we've had the same, I mean, whether you could call them accusations levelled at us or not, I don't know. But everybody that I've heard in the media throughout the entire period have been coming out with, oh, why are Chelsea fans moaning? Why are Chelsea moaning? They've got the biggest squad. They've got quality in their squad. You know, they've got nothing to moan about. They're fine. So it's exactly the same point that's made to you lot. And actually exactly the same as you lot. We've had to be playing. I mean, you know, we've been bringing kids from the youth team in to fill the gaps. I mean, actually, brilliantly and remarkably, they've all done very well. But, you know, it's not been ideal. And I think it's a combination of COVID and injuries are certainly, you know, put a bit of a halt to any pretense we had as a title challenge. So it's very annoying. You guys are in ominous form at the moment. You've got, you know, I mean, we know City do this. They have this kind of habit of putting a huge string of wins back to back together, and you're on 11 at the moment. I mean, it's a stupid question in a way, because I mean, the answer is pretty obvious. But, you know, is there any secret to that form? What's been going on with City for the last few months to put this string of wins together?
I think you've touched upon it as well, because it's not just the last few months. We do this, and we've done it three or four times in recent seasons. I think the difference is we talk about depth of squad and the quality of the squad. What Pep does, he makes good players better, but he also makes players much more adaptable, so that we can put square pegs into round holes without really disrupting the team. You know, we haven't had a recognised striker for the past couple of seasons, bearing in mind Aguero was out for most of last season. So we play false nines, but we never know, and the opposition never knows from one game to the other, who will be the false nine. Indeed, they interchange during a match. But I think it's the all-round, the fact that we can make our players utility players whilst also being absolutely brilliant in their preferred role when Pep has a full sort of squad to choose from. So, and I also think that Pep himself obviously is the great improviser. He is a football genius. And we just have this, I think we've got a good mental attitude as well. We've got the capacity to weather the storm. I think the Arsenal win, which got so many of them whinging, especially that dickhead Alan Davis, the would-be comedian, and he has a particularly onerous podcast, which is borderline racist. But I mean, Pep had said after the Arsenal game, some players were very, very mentally and physically tired because they were either, unbeknownst to us at the time, going down with COVID or were recovering from COVID. So there's so many facets to it.
That's a really good point, actually, because I think we've had that situation as well. And you're right about Alan Davies. He hates Chelsea to the extent that he's libelous about us quite frequently. Horrible, horrible person. Somebody I'd love to punch on the nose if I ever got the opportunity.
I work with him, but I didn't talk football with him.
Can you punch him on my behalf?
If I work with him again, but it's unlikely, I think.
Can you call him a Gareth? I'd settle for that.
I might slip him a piece of paper with it written on it.
Okay. I mean, I remember he wrote something that went all over Twitter about 5 or 6 years about church. Do you remember Dino?
Yeah.
I remember it. So not sort of the topic, but I remember him being
odious.
Yeah.
Awful. Anyway, we digress. David, I've got a theory, okay, about City this season, which I think I have aired on here before. This is probably why JK's yawning, actually. He's heard it all before. But anyway, the theory goes something like this, that I wonder if Pep is going... I mean, you know, you're 10 points ahead of us at the moment. You know, you could make an argument to say if you win tomorrow, that's it, the title's done and dusted. And I wonder if Pep is going all out to win the Premier League this season as quickly as he can. So let's say April, in order for him to then focus on what the club apparently really want, and that is to win the Champions League. Do you think there's a theory there that stands up to scrutiny?
It stands up to common sense in as much as what team wouldn't want to win the Premier League as soon as possible,
well, yeah,
given the opportunity, obviously. It's a funny one with the fans, because although we do want to win the Champions League, and I think a certain team got in the way of that last year, most of the City fans still value the Premier League above the Champions League. And I do this season. Yes, I want to win both. Of course I do. But Champions League is the Holy Grail, or the perceived Holy Grail, because it's the one we've never won. It's the one that it's always the old Sheikh Mansour and Khaldun, our chairman. It's what the Abu Dhabi owners want to win above all else, which makes sense to a degree because it carries such prestige and it recognises you across the continent. But it's a strange one. If you ask most City fans, I think most do still value the Premier League over the Champions League. I think Pep does want the Champions League again, though, because it's been a while, obviously, since he won it with Barcelona.
I mean, I, from my understanding and chats with you before, a lot of City fans, you know, disinterest, for want of a better word, for the Champions League really stems from their loathing of UEFA, which I can understand. But yeah. I think, put it round another way, you know, I mean, City, you know, and us have been the best two clubs in England for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, certainly in terms of trophy hauls. But you've not won the Champions League. And I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, you and I are similar ages. For me as a Chelsea fan, to win the Champions League was just massive because, you know, it meant that I could look a Scouser in the eyes and say, well, we've won what you've won. I mean, obviously not as many times, but we've won the Champions League, the European Cup too. So get back in your box, you know. And I can always say to Arsenal fans, yeah, you know, you're a big club and you say you're bigger than us, but you've never won the Champions League. So I think there's a much broader cachet to it than I think maybe apparent at first.
Yes, there is. And as I say, it does recognise you across the continent. You know, you've been in a competition with, you know, the Spanish champions, Italian champions, the German champions, and you've ultimately won it. But I'm not going to be a hypocrite about it. I still look upon the Champions League as a glorified cup competition. And I think if you win the Premier League over 38 games, yeah, it carries more gravitas than, what is it, 13 games in the Champions League to get to it. I wouldn't say no to winning it. I'd love to win it. I was absolutely aghast when I saw our lineup against you guys last year. I went down the team sheet. I thought, oh, Sterling's playing, without realising, where's the holding midfield player?
Yeah.
And after 20 minutes, you're still asking, where's the holding midfield player?
Yeah.
You know, a very galling night for a sky blue, if not a royal blue. But I'd still want the Premier League over the Champions League if it was a straight choice this season. But being greedy, if we can adhere to your theory of winning the title in April, if we're still in the Champions League, then hopefully we can keep people fit. And for once, Pep, genius that he is, he doesn't manage to screw it up in the latter stages of the Champions League.
But do you think they're actually planning for that? Don't you think he's just aware of the fact that the team is better than all the other teams and they're on a run, and he'd be pleased if they make sure they've pocketed the league before you got into the last rounds of the Champions League. But do you think that's a specific plan that he's making, Chidge? I'm not convinced that that's the case at all. I just think that they're playing wonderfully, and they're just, there's a consequence, they're ahead of everybody. And if it just works out that he ends up with, you know, being 20 points ahead, he can then take his foot off the gas in that environment and perhaps cost it the players a bit more. I mean, personally, I prefer winning the Champions League. I think it means you're the best club in Europe, even if you're not. I mean, I love it.
You know? Well, it means you can say it, even if you're not. And I mean, the reality is, the absolute irony is, I mean, hand on heart, I mean, we know we weren't the best team in the competition when we won it in 2012. And I mean, if we're going to be, you know, very, very, very honest, you know, City were 25 points ahead of us in the league when they won it. And, you know, I think it's a stretch to say that we were the best team in Europe when we won it last season. But David's right. It's a cup competition, and that's how the cup goes. You know, you can shithouse your way to win it. But at the end of the day, if you do win it, you can go around saying, champions of Europe, we know what we are. And up Arsenal and everybody else. It's great.
Great fun.
It is great fun. Honestly, I recommend it, David. Honestly, you'll enjoy it. Trust
you'll
me.
You'll love it. You'll love it when you can say that. It's such fun.
Anyway, I mean, look, do you think the title is done and dusted, you know, whether you win or not tomorrow?
No, never. City fan of, how am I, 58 now. I've been a City fan for 50 years. I've been through, you know, some really bad times. I've been down to the third tier. I don't think you'll find many City fans, certainly not traditional City fans, legacy fans, who would be that arrogant, that stupid. Yes, I can see your T-shirt. You know, we just don't take it for granted. Let's put it this way. If we lose to you guys tomorrow, it's down to 7 points. We've still got the Dippers breathing down our necks if they get on a winning run. There's no way it's done and dusted. And it's not false modesty. Until we are mathematically assured of being champions, there really are very, very few City fans who would display the arrogance or the downright stupidity to say the league's won.
Absolutely. I mean, Tuchel actually would share your view, David. I think he said in the press, if not today, then recently, that, you know, you can't declare the race won when the race is still going on. And I kind of agree with that. And as my good mate Daryl says on Mixlr, you know, it's not over until it's mathematically impossible, and it is not yet. So, look, talking about tomorrow, you know, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think you played three at the back against us when you know, I thought won very comfortably at the Bridge earlier this season. But you've been playing with four at the back for most of the season. So but do you think you'll go three at the back tomorrow, or will he go with a four?
Do you know what? There's a caveat to this because the COVID looms its head. We don't know who's fit and who isn't. Oh. Pep has said today that we've had more outbreaks of COVID positives since last week against Swindon. We had 7 first teamers out against Swindon. So it depends who's available. I think if he's got most of his squad, he will go. I think he'll go for four. Ideally, it would be Walker, Cancelo, Diaz and Laporte. And I'd play Rodri in front of that because he's been outstanding. And I'd put Gundogan, Bernardo, De Bruyne, Sterling if he's fit and Foden if he's fit. As I say, there's a lot of intangibles there because I think 3 or 4 of those I've just mentioned were COVID victims before the Swindon game.
Did Foden get an injury?
I think he'll go for four.
Did Foden get an injury or did he have COVID?
Well, City don't tell us, you know, who's got COVID. They sort of, you know, data protection. But the understanding is that Foden had COVID. It was Foden, Grealish, Sterling, Edison, Fernandinho, Zinchenko, and another. Stones was injured. But with him saying he's got new cases, then, you know, you can add to that roll call new names. But it all depends if any of those who previously had it are now able to come back.
Because does Grealish just not get in because he's not good enough given that the team is so good? Is that the situation or is there not a space for him at the moment?
I think the situation with Grealish is it's like a lot of players who come to City, especially under Pep. Pep is very, very demanding. You've got to learn new tricks. You've got to work your ass off. Personally, I think Grealish will be a good acquisition in the fullness of time. He is a very good player, but he has had to adapt a lot. Everything went through him at Villa. Whereas at City, you know, he's part of the cog in the machine. And maybe at the moment there are players who are in more better form than him. But, I'm delighted to have Grealish at the club. And who knows, he may well play, but he did apparently have COVID last week. So.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that one develops. I mean, In the presser today, David, Tuchel kind of acknowledged that he'd dropped one or made a bit of a blunder tactically when we played you at the Bridge earlier in the season, that we were, you know, too defensive, too passive in a sense. And I don't think he's going to, I mean, as a result, I mean, he could be double bluffing, of course, but as a result, I don't think he's going to play the same way. But, you know, what do you think the best way to beat City is? I mean, Arsenal had a good go, didn't they, the other week? I thought they played pretty well against you, but tactically. But what's the best way to beat City at the moment?
And you don't
score more goals, because I know that.
No, you press. You press, you close us down, you match our work rate. You don't give us time to be comfortable on the ball. It really is, you have to be brave, but you go at us. Because if you sit back, we will inevitably, well, I say inevitably, it doesn't always work, but invariably we will pick off the opposition. We will find a way through. We will grind them down, you know, mentally and physically, and we'll move the defence all over the shop. We'll overload on certain areas. But no, I think if you want to beat City, you match fire with fire and you go for it.
Dino?
Yeah, I was just going to say, having sort of David said to press City, do you want to see Lukaku on the team sheet then?
Sorry, is that for me?
It is. Sorry, David.
Do I want to see Lukaku on the team sheet?
Yeah, exactly. Chelsea's press isn't as good with him in the team, I feel. So do you want to see him playing then?
I wouldn't mind him playing. I'm not denying he's a good player. I think in Diaz and Laporte and or even Stones, if he's fit, we've got the central defenders who can cope with his physicality. And yeah, we could probably better isolate him depending on what are the alternatives from a Chelsea perspective if you don't play Lukaku.
Mm, yeah. Well, Havertz.
Havertz.
That bloke who scored the winner in the Champions League final.
I am well aware, thank you.
The silky German.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. He's a very good player. I think, I don't know, it's a difficult one. You know, set pieces, Lukaku could be a threat. He's a very intelligent player. But whether he's got the capacity to press, as you guys have sort of intimated, is debatable. So, yeah, I think maybe all things considered, Lukaku on the team sheet would be welcome. Having said that, he'll probably have a blinder and score a bloody hat-trick. Yeah,
we'll see about that. He's not in my team for tomorrow, that's for sure. David, how do you see it going tomorrow?
Now, this is where I always say, oh, I think it will be a narrow City win. So if I'm to be true to what I said at the outset...
And then it's 6-0, you mean?
Chelsea are going to win 3-0, no problem.
Yeah, right. Seriously, how do you see it going?
Evenly contested, very intense, very tight. I'm hoping City will shade it. I mean, a draw is not the worst result in the world for us, given where we are. Again, you don't know who's going to be in the team, who's fit, who isn't. I think we'll be well drilled. I'd like to think we'll shade it, but every time I've said that, you guys do the polar opposite. So now I'm going to do it. Chelsea are going to win. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know what you're doing, and I don't blame you for it. I mean, I think the difficulty with it, with what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, does center a lot around the respective issues floating around the camps. I mean, I didn't realize that there was so much COVID floating around City, so you don't even know who's likely to play. And you know, we seem to be getting back to a bit of form. I kind of wonder if we got over the hump with it. And then in the press of today, we hear that Christensen's gone down with COVID. So you know, even if there's very few COVID victims in the squad, there's some bloody tired and exhausted and players coming back from injury. So I think it makes it very difficult to predict. I mean, if both teams were, you know, completely fit and had all their best players available, then I think it would be like last season. You know, either of us could win it. Depends who, you know, turns up on the day and works harder for it, wants it more, you know. But I think you're right. I think tomorrow is very, 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 very difficult to predict. But there you go. No doubt you're going along tomorrow, David. So have a good time. Stay safe, of course.
Well, thank you for those sentiments. I'm sure you probably mean stay safe and you're sincere in that, but you probably don't want me to have a good time.
No, I do. I do want you to have a good time, but not to the extent where, you know, you wallop us 6-0, like the appalling, one of the worst, that is honestly one of the worst Chelsea performances I have ever seen in 40 years of watching them. So
was it 4-0 in 20 minutes?
Yeah, it was just the way they threw it. David Luiz throwing in the towel. It was just, It reminded me of his performance against Germany in the World Cup, where he just basically went nuts and just, you know. Anyway,
I'd be more than happy. Sorry,
Barclay's back pass will always stay with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah. It was horrible.
Sorry.
I'll be delighted with a 1-0 win. Yeah. I'm very. Before I go, very pleased you guys beat Spurs, and very pleased. And hopefully, you will see off either the victims or the whingers, the other teams in the semi-final, and you can take the Caribou Cup on loan from us for a year.
Of course, yes, because you do like winning that, don't you?
It was ours.
Yeah. Apparently, we're now in our 9th League Cup final. So, it was the first cup competition we ever won back in 65, the year of my birth. So there we go. And do you know what the players got for winning it?
20 quid?
No, they got a tankard.
A mug.
Oh, yes, right. They give those out, didn't they?
That's right, they got a tankard. Yeah. So there you go. Anyway, on that startling revelation, I'm going to let you go, David. But as always, brilliant to have you coming on. You never know, we may catch up with you again later in the season, either in the FA Cup final or the before, or the Champions League, of course.
Who knows? But thanks, guys, for having me on, and all the very best. Thank you.
Yeah, you too, my friend. You take care. Brilliant stuff there. That's David Walker from Red But Never Red, a fine gentleman indeed. Now, we will be back in a minute or two to talk about our preview of the Man City-Chelsea game, so don't go away.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Up the Chelsea!
FootballFancast.com.
Welcome back. This is the Chelsea Fancast, the Friday night preview show with me, Stamford Chidge, him down there, Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
Hello.
And him up there, Mr. Dean Mears. Dean, you're looking very, I don't know, I mean, I think the glasses are making you look quite sophisticated tonight.
Professorial.
Yes,
Chidge. Yes. Yeah, they bring the intelligence. But the glasses do it.
Yeah, no.
What's your view of the team, Professor Mears? That's what I always would feel I ought to say now.
Yeah, indeed. Maybe you will. Right, now it's our turn to crashing into the mic. Talk about the team selection and the Man City Chelsea match tomorrow. All I have to do is find what I wrote earlier. But JK, this is what I came up with, and actually, I have to say, I wasn't a million miles out for the Spurs match. Actually, I got that pretty much spot on, so I'm improving. Right, here we go. We know that Chalobah and Christensen are out, obviously. That's what we picked up today. So, Kepa, Rudiger, Silva, Azpilicueta. So I think he'll go back three. Alonso, Jorginho, Kante, and I think he'll put Pulisic as the right wing back. And then he will go Werner, Havertz and Mount up front.
You feel there's no place for Odoi, who I thought defended very well during the week and had some good runs. He still doesn't take players on enough, I know that. But I thought he had a very... He linked up very well with the attack. So I wonder whether Odoi might sneak in.
We won't have as much of the ball, though.
Instead of Pulisic.
Well, he might play him as the right wing back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might. He might. That's very true. I mean, he did...
Pulisic has been just so... I mean, you know, bless his cotton socks. He's not very good in that position.
No. I agree with that.
He tries very hard.
I really kind of went on it on the basis that Pulisic didn't play at all, did he, against Spurs? And I was thinking maybe he was resting him.
It's the same way with Havertz not playing at all. Your view is that therefore, because he gave Lukaku a full 90 minutes, he'll play Havertz, bring Lukaku on later. It's very possible.
Yeah.
And Werner actually, other than... there were two occasions when he in the Spurs game when he drove me mad. One was which he didn't bother to come back when the ball was booted up the pitch, so he was offside. But the game played on; he wasn't given offside. That was the only time that happened, and he looked less offside than he's ever been. And the other one was when Lukaku put pressure on the right back, went right and followed him into the corner, and rather than going up. And the only out the fullback had was to pass across to the goalkeeper, rather than go on to the goalkeeper, which in fact Lukaku signaled him to do. He just stood on the edge of the penalty area, and it's that kind of thing. You just think, I don't understand why you're not applying these really basic rules of how to get the ball back. You know, you're standing on the edge of the penalty area doing nothing. But apart from that, and apart from a couple of shots, which once again he missed, he actually made some very good runs. So as a selection, he put great pressure on, particularly in the first half, pressure on the Spurs defence. So you have to admit that he does have a role, but I still would like the ball to go in the net. This is still my big thing. You know, that's what he did at his German club. Was it Leipzig? He got the ball in the net. And we would really like to see that happening with both him and Lukaku and Havertz as well, because this brilliance that they have, even in the Spurs game, should have scored again. They were brilliant in the first half. And yet, you know, the ball not going in the net, just it diminishes the superiority we've got every time.
I mean, I personally thought Werner played pretty well against Spurs. I thought he was a better out ball than Lukaku. I mean, you know,
I agree.
I mean, and like we said on the show on Monday, that he you know, was a good out ball in terms of you know, when, you know, I mean, it worked perfectly to plan, didn't it? Because we scored first. Like I said on the Monday show, it was all about who scored the first goal. We scored first. They had to come out. And, of course, that made them very vulnerable to long balls over the top, which we kept pinging over. You know, invariably Lukaku would fall over the ball. But Werner, I thought, you know, his control and the way he outpaced one of their, I think it was Tanganga, was it Cheeseburger Royale? I can't remember, one of them. Anyway, you know, he just absolutely did him for pace, and I thought he was really quite threatening as that. But like you said, none of the fuckers can put the ball in the net. Dino, do you fancy my team, or would you like to see a few different people in there?
I like the look of the team, but I don't know if he does something different defensively, like maybe even Saar stays in the team, and then Azpi goes right wing back.
And he plays a four. Would you play Saar as a wing back, you reckon?
No, in a three still. So then it's basically
five. Sign the three. Okay, yeah.
So as we can go right wing backs.
Yeah,
I don't think he fancy Pulisic against Cancelo. The front three, fine.
Well, that's the front three that we had in Porto.
Yeah, I think we'll see that again, just for what sort of David was saying about the being able to press them and go at them. You're not doing that with Lukaku. And even against Tottenham, Chelsea just weren't playing the ball to him because they couldn't trust that he would do anything with it or hold it and bring others into play. Everything went down the left, and that's why Mount was pretty invisible, because he was on Lukaku's side, unfortunately.
So Lukaku's managing to make Mount look a worse player. Well done. That's an achievement. Well, hang on. I learnt that from JK, Dino, right? That's what they used to do in the early 70s when they were most seriously displeased in the East Upper. Or East
Middle. No, in the whole of the ground.
Whole of the ground. Just, it wasn't just you posh people then, it was the whole
lot. No. It wasn't such a thing as the East Upper, there was only the East Stand.
Yeah, true enough.
No, the slow hand clap went everywhere, all around the ground.
Mm, yeah, so there we go. That was for Lukaku, for making Mount look a worse player. Yeah, I have to say, Dino, you know, I mean, Daryl mentioned this as well, you know, and you make a good point about Pulisic versus Cancelo. Of course, you know, the perennial worry about playing any teams with pace is having Alonso at left wing back. Not that we have a lot of choice at the moment, but I'd like to remind everybody, including Daryl, that it was Alonso who scored the winner for Chelsea when we beat them 2-1 up there last season. Isn't that right, Dean?
Yeah, Alonso is that special player that creates something maybe when you need it in situations, sort of the last minute or a free kick. And even if he has a dreadful game for 89 minutes, he is a player that does something in the penalty area, unlike some of our strikers.
That's true enough. I mean, the interesting thing, I think, will really be whether he does play 3-4-2-1 or whether he does actually play, you know, this kind of 4-2-2-2, which he's kind of been playing, you know, quite recently. And I think there was an argument that people were saying that apparently that's the way to get the best out of Lukaku. But, you know, I mean, Lukaku looked like he was doing better under the 3-4-2-1, actually. I mean, like a Villa, as JK was saying, but we shall see. Who can say? Anyway,
I'm noticing you're slightly pissed off with Lukaku, and I like it, Chidge. I like it. I like this sort of rasp in your voice whenever you
talk. Well, because, you know, I think he shat on the club. I think he shat on Tuchel, and I think he shat on us, and I think he shat on the players. Now, I'm not a man that will necessarily bear a grudge, But, you know, I think part of the reparative process requires him to not make apologies on Chelsea TV, which can be fluffed up by the PR department. Actions speak louder than words. So go out and fucking play like a £100 million striker and do what we need you to do, which is to put the ball in the net.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen any evidence of that in the last two matches he's played against, dare I say it, non-league Chesterfield, who bullied him off the ball.
Yes.
And Spurs, who he didn't really... Well, I mean, whether he didn't trouble them or not is immaterial. I just, again, thought that his control and touch was really poor, so he couldn't hold the ball up for us. I just thought, well, that's not good enough for 100 million quid, mate. You know, in other words, the cosiness has gone. The honeymoon is over. Now it's about delivering. Right?
I agree completely. As I've said over the one, I got vilified for daring to suggest that his performance against Chesterfield was embarrassing.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm usually quite fluffy about players, but I think not with Lukaku now, not after what he did.
No, not by you, by people on Twitter.
Oh well, I'm not people on Twitter, obviously. You know.
No. I wasn't suggesting that you'd done that.
But, no. Point taken.
We both agree with it about him. I don't think he's performing anywhere near the standard he should be performing at.
Well, I said, didn't I, on Monday, that I got a theory that, you know, he can't get his way out through a clever bit of media manipulation. Yeah, yeah, so maybe he'll just be really shit. So we've got no option but to get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Which case we might buy a Aubameyang.
A boomerang. Fuck yeah, off. No way. Although we did say that Tuchel did play, didn't he? He did introduce him to Dortmund, I think, didn't he?
He did.
So
he did.
You never know. I don't know. It's as usual. Do you know what really pisses me off when it boils down to it? It's the same old bloody story, isn't it, with Chelsea? For as long as I've been following this fucking club, we buy strikers for loads of money and they couldn't hit a cow's arse with a banjo. It happens time and time and time. And I'm sick of it. I'm bored of it, mate.
Other than Diego.
Diego, Drogba.
DDA.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Bobby Tambling.
Yeah, Kerry.
Kerry.
You know, but that's it really, isn't it? Anyway, you led me down a rabbit hole there of madness, but I kind of love you for it. Thank you. I needed that. I needed to get that off my chest, I think. You know, there is a sense to me that, I mean, we were talking about this a week or two ago and we were quite worried at the time. Well, I certainly was about going out to play City. They're winning every game. And we were in a real pickle, a lot of it COVID and injury and fatigue induced. And I was thinking, that's the last thing we need at the moment is to go up there and play a side like that. I do think in the last week or two, things have changed slightly. And I think we are beginning to look a lot better as players are coming back and looking fitter and better. And actually, if we look at it through that lens, we've got an exceptional record up at City. I didn't realise this until I read Rick's and Paul's pre-match briefing. But we've had 27 top-flight victories at City since 1992. And that nobody else has beaten them up there as many times as we have, Dean. I mean, we got a good record up there, and we won there last year, as we all know. Palace won there last season. So, you know, as the London and Blue boys would say, why not us?
Yeah, obviously, well, I don't think we're the team they want to play either, given the coach we've got and what we've done against them last season, beating them, what was it, 3 out of 4 times, that Tuchel's got his number. But what worries me is that loads of Chelsea supporters have brought inflatable Champions League trophies.
Brilliant, yes.
And it really worries me that they're all going to have them and then we're going to get absolutely smashed by City as some sort of revenge for that.
Yeah, there's always that chance of schadenfreude, isn't there? But I have to say, I don't know if JK knew that, but I was aware of that on Twitter. I think it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I remember we did it, perhaps not with as many Champions League balloons, it has to be said, but when that brilliant Capital One Cup away match at Arsenal, where we had about 10,000 in there, 9,000, 10,000, something like that. And it was the season after, you know, I'm sure it was the season after we won the Champions League, but we went there and we went potty with all of that and they really hated it. I was right next to them. I was right next to the Arsenal fans and they're giving it. Me and Pablo had a few beers beforehand and we just gave them shit and dogs abuse all night and they started moving away. They couldn't bear it. It was hilarious.
I think if ever there was a time to wave a Champions League replica at somebody, it's now, the season after you've won it. Yeah. Whereas poor old Nottingham Forest waving them at us 30 years after. after they've won it, is, and then you beat them 4-0, whatever it was, in the cup. It all, that's all rather embarrassing. But yeah, why not? Particularly the hatred we were given. Well, no, the arrogant the conviction that they were going to win it 5-0. Number of people who walked past us when we were in Porto saying 5-0 is going to be 5-0. Ah, you're shit. You're a shit team. We are going to be beaten 5-0. I got so fed up with all that.
Yes, so, yeah. Quite right. Tomorrow is the day to do it. Everybody going up there, blow up your European Cup balloons and ram them right in their faces, mate. That's what it's all about. Talking about, you know, I mean, it was very interesting to hear what David had to say about the best way to beat City. I thought, he's such a, you know, he's an intelligent bloke, and I knew he would answer it honestly. Not kind of the usual, nah, we're not going to get beaten, nobody can beat us kind of bollocks that so many other people would trot out. And it's really interesting, actually, because, again, Rick and Paul's pre-match briefing covered this very, very well. And I mentioned it to David, didn't I? The way that Arsenal played them the other week. And that's exactly how Arsenal played. You know, they were in their faces. They were very intense. In a way, JK, a bit like we've been playing recently.
Indeed. And Arsenal played like that last night, actually, against Liverpool in a very similar way. And I think if we play as well as we did in the first half against Spurs, it's going to be a very competitive game indeed. But I think Tuchel was dissatisfied with the second half performance against Spurs, possibly distracted as we were by the refereeing idiocy. But I think we also, because of the substitutions, we did take our foot off the pedal, and we need to be as precise as we were in the first half against Spurs, where we were absolutely excellent.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So, Dino, high three-man press, which is what we've talked about, and we'd get that with Werner, Havertz and Mount. Counter-attacking using the width as well. I mean, that's often been a weakness of City because they push up so high, you just get behind them. But the other thing is, which Paul and Rick mentioned, was winning the one-to-ones up front. So if you get a situation where you're one-on-one with their defenders, you can, you know, make a bit of hay there. So do you think that's the way to go?
Yeah, I think sort of similar to the Champions League final where you sort of can soak up pressure, you can make it compact so their sort of small inside forwards can't get the space they need to create the opportunities, and then, you know, break quickly and find Havertz in a pocket of space.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, without a doubt, not be passive and defensive, which is, as Tuchel said today, was a tactical error on his part. But there you go. I mean, the other thing, chaps, I mean, again, you know, David was alluding to this when he was saying he doesn't think the title race is over. And it is a good point. I mean, we've got Brighton on Wednesday, City obviously tomorrow. If we win both of those matches, we're only 4 points behind them. I mean, then they I think they play Southampton, is it? Or is it Palace? I think it's Southampton they play, which, of course, you know, the current form, they're going to beat most people. But, you know, it does leave the door slightly ajar, I think, JK. It's not done and dusted yet, is it?
I don't think so, no. There's always the possibility they might have a blip. You know, everybody goes on about blips. I have to say I'm not a great lover of the expression. It normally means that somebody's just playing shit and the chances are they'll keep on playing shit. And I've always felt blip meant that you had to come back and then be excellent. And frequently we've as we have with Frank, we had a blip and then the blip was the whole blip of the season. That was the end of that with him. I think somebody else could beat them. And then if we go on a run where we've got five in a row, then we're in a position where we might be breathing down their necks with only 7 points behind them, or even 10. I think if they start playing bad, if they get stretched, if they get injuries, they haven't had any injuries, particularly they haven't had the same number of injuries. If they get distracted by, if he doesn't start winning the league by 15 to 20 points, and they do get distracted by the Champions League or other trophies, or they get stretched in any way, I think we're still in with a chance.
Yeah. I mean, if Palace, Dean, can go up there and win, I mean, anybody can. I mean, obviously, you know, we can tomorrow. But, you know, it's not inconceivable that they can drop points, for, you know, throughout the remainder of their games in the season. So, I honestly don't think it is over yet. Mind you, we might change our minds if we lose, and that extends the gap to 13 points. Because that is, you know, to expect them to lose, what? That'll be five matches, or four and a draw, maybe. It's a bit inconceivable, I think.
Yeah, I think losing it, you think it's over. But, yeah, like you said, you know, any team in this league can beat any team on the given day. They're no good playing the game on paper. You need to turn up on the pitch, and we beat them on the biggest stage. Tuchel's beaten Guardiola 3 times out of 4, so there's no reason for them to sort of fear going to the Etihad and playing them. And you know, it's like the Premier Prediction League's chidge. It's not won in January. The title's won in May.
This is very true. Yes, this is very true. It's a shame you missed Monday night's show, Dean, or weren't on it, because obviously you would have heard me gloating.
You were crowing.
I was crowing, was I?
You were crowing.
Is that worse than gloating?
Much worse.
Okay, I was crowing, Dean. There you go.
That was the second best points performer last week.
Yeah, you were very kind of in my face about, you know, being above me and stuff, mate. And then suddenly after, you know, December may be shit for Chelsea, but not for Chidge, is all I'm saying.
Chidge was Corvic.
Yes, Corvic?
Mm.
What's that? Corvic?
It sounds like it, but no, it's not even chest rub. No, it's just, it's another word for crow.
I've never heard that before. There you go. You don't get this on any other podcast. You get educated on that. Even I get educated on this podcast. What can I say? Right then, you lot. Dino, how do you think it's going to go tomorrow?
Much like the Champions League final. Very tight, very cagey, and Chelsea win 1-0.
Fair enough. Dino, after, like, you are Dino. I'm going pots already.
Ask him again.
Dino, yeah. What do you think? How's it going to go, Dean? See if we get a different answer.
6-0 Chelsea.
Oh, okay. JK.
1-1.
1-1. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I'll be honest with you, and this is probably going to be the root of my downfall this weekend with the Prem Predictions League, but I've gone for 2-1 us, but I just have a hunch, you know, a bit like what we said after the 1-0 defeat, back whenever it was, I think it was September, wasn't it? And I felt that Guardiola was absolutely determined to win that match in an almost unhealthy way, because he was pissed off that we beat them in the Champions League. And I think there's quite an interesting rivalry between him and Tuchel and Pep. But we know from the presser today that there's a lot of respect there for each other. They both think they're very good at what they do. So I think there's a kind of a healthy rivalry in a way. It's not a nasty one like Mourinho and Benitez was. So I think as a result of that, you know, I think Tuchel will be absolutely determined to try and get one over on Pep tomorrow, which might make him up his ante. I mean, the only thing that worries me, of course, is the reality that we will not have our best team out. Whichever way you swing it, when you don't have James and you don't have Chilwell as the left and right wing backs, you do not have your best Chelsea side out there. And that's the only thing that could screw us. But, you know, let's be honest, you know, Aspie can play right back if right wing back if needs be. And Alonso's done it before and scored the winner last season. So, hey, anything's possible. But I'm going to be positive. I'm going to go for 2-1. Dino's going for 1-0. JK's going quite cautiously with a 1-1. That's unlike you, JK.
It's rare for me, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, then, 3-0.
No. I think you said 1-1, and I think that's quite shrewd.
Yeah,
that's quite shrewd. And I don't think 1-1 would be the worst result, but I don't think it will do as many favours. Well, I think 1-1, I think if we lose tomorrow, 13 points clear, I really think that's the title gone. I mean, they're not going to lose 4 games plus maybe 5.
Do you know who the referee is?
Do you know what? I didn't look. Anybody on Mixlr know who the ref is? If you could tell us before the show ends, I would be appreciative. But no, I don't. It'll probably be somebody who hates us or is incompetent. So that pretty much rules most of them in.
Atkinson, you know, be prepared for man running.
Do you know what? I can find out if you give me...
Very long way away from the...
Keep filling, JK.
Because I don't know if you've noticed, but I feel sorry for Atkinson. I don't think that's a very good position to be with the referee.
Oh, my God. I found it. It's Pawson. Also known as Poor Son.
Poor Son.
Oh, dear. So, well, I mean, like I said, it doesn't matter who the referee is. They're all absolutely awful, you know?
Who's the the Stockley Park person?
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't tell me that.
Tell me, because I have to say I was really surprised that Dean was the man who was making all those decisions with Mariner. He must have it in. They must have fallen out.
Well, I think, you know, we didn't really talk about it in too much detail, did we, when we were talking about the Spurs match? But, you know, it was nice to see us on the right end of some VAR decisions for once. You know, they were all appalling decisions. Clear, I mean, not, you know, he got it so comprehensively wrong. So I think it was even impossible for Mike Dean to get up to his usual nefarious tricks.
It's true.
But, you know, it was good. I mean, actually, for the first time in a long time, I really thought, oh, actually, I'm quite glad we got VAR, because without VAR, we would have been absolutely stuffed.
Yeah, know? We'd have been gone to penalties.
Yeah, we'd have done. Brian Justman, absolute legend that you are. Darren England is on VAR. He's been on VAR for quite a lot of people. I think he was on for the Villa United Cup match, which went horribly wrong on VAR. I could be wrong.
Was anyway. That with the chap who just gets every single free kick? What was his name? Bloody hell. With a T, begins with a T. It was the
Tierney.
Ref. Tierney, who just did that play on no. They do that expansive crossed arms no. Even though he was very close, and it was so obviously a penalty. It's that when you just think this must be overturned by VAR, and nothing happens. Yeah. You just think, what on earth is going on?
Well, let's hope there's no nonsense like that, unless it works to our advantage. I'm looking forward to it either way. It's always a cracking match. You're going up there, aren't you, JK?
I am.
You meeting Mr. Meehan?
He's in a different level to me. He's in level two, I think. I'm in level one.
And are you going up with Alex?
No, unfortunately. Bertie is ill.
Oh, no.
Yes, and she's having to take Bertie to the vet tomorrow morning. Oh. Because they won't see him for another 10 days, and he's a bit incontinent, and she's worried about that.
Oh, bless her.
Though somebody licked his face. She's got another cat as well. Licked his face and he gave him a good pawing. Smashed him in the face for doing so. So she thought, well, that's Bertie of old, so he can't be that.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Of course, Bertie made a starring cameo appearance, didn't he, on Monday?
He did. Yeah,
he did indeed.
And you, in fact, you managed to impersonate him quite well, or another cat.
Yes.
And he actually reacted and pricked his ears up and came into shot in Zoom of your cat impression.
He did. And we found a new role for me, didn't we? But there you go.
Yeah, the second time you tried it, he paid no attention at all.
True enough. Who knew I could be catty, eh? Anyway. Right, that's enough from us lot this week. Been a great week. Been fun to do, as it always has. JK and I will be back on Monday for, of course, the main Chelsea Fancast show with Dane Whittle, who is, of course, Dean Mears' partner in crime, along with Jane Chappell on the Went to Mow King's Meadow podcast, Dean.
Yeah, he is doing a fantastic job as well, is Dane. No football for a while for us, though, because of COVID. But they don't really tell us what's going on until a day or so before the match.
Yeah, what is going on? That's there's loads. I mean, I think it's the last three matches have been postponed now, isn't it?
So Chelsea played Wolfsburg on December the 16th with two players out with COVID. Then had their next match on the 19th, which was the last one before the winter break, cancelled. Then the first match on the 7th of January was cancelled because of COVID. And then this match has now been cancelled because of COVID for the opposition. So they're getting better. Then the opposition goes down. So they've not played for over a month.
Bloody hell. So what are you doing for podcasts?
Well, they're due to play next Wednesday. So we did the transfer special last week, which is out now. And then we'll do a preview for the West Ham game. But we don't know if that's going to go ahead or not. But we'll do it anyway.
Yeah, good on you. I'm going to, by the way, for people who subscribe via Acast, I will be putting the preview of the Chelsea FC women's team versus Everton up anyway. Because that's how we roll, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we've done it, so we might as well publish it.
Absolutely right. Okay, so there we go. So Dane will be on the show with us on Monday, as will Jonathan. Sam Inkersoll's coming on for the whole 2.5 hours. What has he done to deserve that?
The poor man.
Is that a punishment?
Oh, it looks like it.
It must be.
Perhaps Adam just might take over from him if we ask him if it all gets too wearisome.
No. Sam will be on. I've warned him about this, so I think he'll be on anyway.
Sam, well, I meant about halfway through as a kind of substitute.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, we could bring on a substitute. Yeah, I haven't thought of that. Anyway, yeah, Sam Inkersoll from Football.London will also be with me, JK, and Dane Whittle from 7 o'clock, of course, in the evening. We'll be looking back at the match against City, and we'll be looking ahead to the match against Brighton on Tuesday evening. I think I said Wednesday earlier on, didn't I? It's on Tuesday evening. There we go. Dean, it's what a delight to see you on the Fancast again. We haven't seen you for a while. It's been great to see you tonight.
Yeah, Monday's evenings have not been too kind, so I've had to stick to the Fridays, but always a delight, and the best podcast there is, well, is the Fancast.
You're very, very kind to say that, but you make it help to make it what it is as well, mate, so don't ever forget that. Good to see you, Dean. JK, dear old JK. Been fun this week. I don't know why. I've really enjoyed it this week.
Yeah, I think it helps when we win.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, drawing and missing chances. Winning, but still missing chances. Now I've just bemused about, you know, we buy this £100 million player to put the ball in the net, and he might as well be playing Chris Sutton or Alan Mays. You know? Yeah.
Well, we'll see. The jury is out, but let's hope it gets better. You know, who knows? May get better tomorrow for all we know, because we do have a habit of getting the team selection wrong. Right, everybody who's been listening this week, particularly those of you lovely people on Mixlr, I have been looking at your comments, as I always do throughout the show, but lovely to see you here. Thank you for your loyal support. And, of course, everybody who listens to this as a podcast later on when I stick it up there, thank you for listening. See you next Monday, next week. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it Chelsea! It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.